fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Oh, you know what that means. It's time for a fishing report. Leaf is here, and Leaf has been out spiny ray fishing, in a way.
Yeah.
They are spiny rays, aren't they?
Well, you know, I was asking into that, and no.
Oh, they're not.
I forget the name, the Latin name. I promised to get more schooled, and I was going to make a point to do that. I got distracted by some crazy Germans, though.
That's so, okay. Let's tell folks where you've been.
They're closer related to minnows, I was told by Master Humling.
What?
Yeah, yeah, super weird. Or, yeah, like a mud dauber minnow kind of weird thing like that.
Weird.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Tell folks what you've been doing.
Yeah.
In case they don't remember.
Short,
yeah.
My homie Bobby and I were out. We headed up to Curlew Lake, and we met up with this guy that they call Musky Dave. I think it's Wayne Dana. I don't know if he has aliases, because anything
witness,
we should worry about.
But, witness protection or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you find the guy, I think, at Warm Water Rambler. Good luck, though. It's like he doesn't seem to want to be found.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is witness protection.
He's kind of one of those funny Jedi or Kung Fu teacher fishing guides, where he only does a few trips per year, and only because he wants to.
Yeah.
And you
got
to kind of find him
It sounds like an interesting trip. I mean, most of us hear you talk, and we feel like you're kind of Magic Dan or something. You
right,
know, it's like you got special powers or something.
Yeah.
But this guy in the world of muskies
is
kind of the same way.
I think it was like a parallel universe meeting this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he has a lot of superstitions, and he's got a lot of those same ideas in his crazy head that I do. He names all of his fish. He knows all their habits.
Yeah.
And it just is hilarious to fish with the guy, and it is incredibly different than anything I've ever done.
Yeah. Now, we've in the weeks past, when we knew you were going to take this trip, we talked about the gear. It's huge gear.
Yes.
Great
yes.
big giant flies.
Yeah.
Great big thick rods.
Mm-hmm.
And the technique is what? How was it like out there? You're going on a boat.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, it's hard to describe to anybody that hasn't done it, but it's kind of like tarpon fishing. It's basically in the way that you're using kind of all the hardware that you would for a lot of these bigger fish that you'd catch in the salt water, for example, like tarpon. And you're having to make long casts. You're having to make super long casts and strip or retrieve this bug back. And so you really have to be comfortable with putting out a really long cast with double hauling, as they say, and that means charging the rod with a tug with your line hand every time that you go back and forth with the rod hand just before, and you put a charge into the rod that will act as an additional push along with the strength of the rod, and so you really have to kind of have a good cast, be able to put it out there pretty far, and then really listen to your guide on this one, because it's about the pace of your retrieve. It's about trying to instigate an attack from a fish that really doesn't want to do anything when it doesn't want to.
Yeah.
It's like they call it the fish of 10,000 casts rather than 1,000.
Yeah.
The steelhead.
We thought steelhead were hard to hook.
And I would describe it in these weird ways like they seem to. It's like a total oxymoron. Or it's like it's the most exciting, most boring marathon that hurts the most, punctuated by these brief moments of like holy crap excitement, and then all of a sudden big long hours of disappointment.
I can see why you're looking forward to going
right?
back.
Right? Yeah. It makes your arms hurt. It leaves bruises on your forearms. And it's like no other kind of fishing I've done, but I want to do it again so bad.
Yeah. Now this guy is also, he's hooked into what would have been state records.
Multiple
yeah. times.
And he's had his clients into them too.
Yeah. And so that means how big?
You know, like I said, we were thinking last week, 15 to 20 pounds, 30 to 40 inches. He's like, the small ones. And they're 40 to 50 inches, and they're 40 to 50 pounds.
Wow.
And they are a danger to everything around them, including your kids' toes. Don't let them dangle off the dock up at Curlew.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Well, maybe, you know, be careful. It's
it doesn't sound like it's out of the question.
I don't think I'm swimming.
Well, tell
not up there.
Well, tell people about the one that you guys actually went after later, but had taken down a goose.
Right. Yeah. We were hunting for this one fish, and I don't remember its name. I just call it Goose Eater or whatever, or Goose Bane. He Or she, he calls all of them she's. I'm not sure how this works with the triploiding process. There again, get back to you. But there's this a certain stump and off this certain island in the lake, mm-hmm. Where he knew this fish would be. And we were fishing around it, and I started to really feel like, you know, even though it'd been a few hours with just nothing, I really felt like this was a spot. You know, it mm-hmm. was a real good looking spot. And all of a sudden, up in front of the boat was Bob, and I saw him strip down really hard because you're supposed to give these three really hard strips, and you're not supposed to lift your rod tip whatsoever. And I saw him stripping down really hard, and I probably am not supposed to say in public that I also saw him commit the cardinal sin of lifting up and trout setting just ever so slightly.
Sorry,
not very much at all. Not very much at all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And mostly stripping down perfectly. Okay. And I could see the rod start pumping. I could see mm-hmm. the tip of this rod start pulsing, and it's a huge rod, so I knew what size the fish was. It was definitely that fish, or a fish of, you know, somewhat the same size, yeah. around he said about 45 inches, about 40 to 45 pounds. And yeah. that's about what it looked like, judging by the weight of this rod and how that tip was moving. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And
this is Goose Bane?
Yeah, that was Goose Bane. And like I was saying, he'd been watching, the guy did in the, I think it was this season at some point, mm-hmm. or maybe a season before, had been watching this fish kind of spooking these geese. And he thought he was about to see one of the goslings be eaten. And so he'd kind of watched, he kept watching. And just like in Jaws, he saw the mom all of a sudden twitch, stop, and then go down into the water, into these big jaws, and just her head and neck sticking out. He took her down to the bottom, and like a snake, you know, took about a day to get her down into his stomach, and then just sat there and slept it off for probably a few days, eating her.
Yeah, that is an unbelievable yeah. story. Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes even these huge flies that I was using, that he jokes, it's like tossing a wet sock, huh? It's totally like tossing a large wet sock. And these things, I might possibly still not be big enough to tickle their fancy on a certain day if they're feeling really psychopathic.
Well, in a way, it's difficult to fathom a fish in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
that is even going to mm-hmm. think about taking down a full-size goose. I mean, it's just,
you know,
I'm boggled.
And I believe it, though, totally, because of the size of the fish and what I've seen, I know, and because of what I've seen with bass and them eating blackbirds and ducklings yeah. and mice. So I just don't doubt it, because mm-hmm. you're stepping up to another fish that would eat those bass, that eat those birds and mice. So mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
And these guys are... They have a real arsenal. Yeah. They are equipped to do things like
this. It's scary. Yeah, you don't want to, like, if you don't really, he doesn't net them because he doesn't want to mess up the fins. So you just kind of got to bring them into the boat, and you basically got to just try to put a hand under their forward belly uh-huh. and try to just tail them for just long enough to get the stuff out of them. And I saw what he's using, and it's like a more than 12-inch long thing that it opens jaws, and then also you can reach in there with another lever device, not your hand, get these things, get his flies out of there, because it's like he said, their mouth is like a 10-gallon bucket, and that's all you're going to see out of these fish, because they're green like the bottom.
Yeah,
you'll just see the flash of a white mouth open, and it's huge. It's like somebody's trying to go after yeah. your fly with a 10-gallon bucket.
Well, the way you described them as well, that they almost seem like these stories you see or YouTube videos of boa constrictors eating a pig
right.
or something,
right.
you know, and they
yeah.
they can swallow it. They can
anaconda fish.
Yeah, they kind of unhinge their jaw, uh-huh. take down this huge thing, and then sit there for a yeah. week or month while they digest it.
And there's, like I say, there's been all these stories that he's been told and instances he's seen where these fish are just sitting there lethargic. Maybe it's because of the you know, conditions or whatever,
yeah.
but I also imagine quite often, because of these large meals that they take down, they'll just sit there and sleep. Like they say, they sleep for days.
Huh.
And so that can be part of what's hard about catching them too, because it quite, you know, if you got a, you're going after a fish that just ate a goose, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be too super hungry for a little bit with all that foie gras in his stomach, you know? And then, yeah, that 10-gallon bucket, by the way, is filled yeah. with needles. Giant needles.
Right.
I mean, that mouth is deadly sharp.
Yeah.
And so they've got some, the blades on the back of the gills too. So
wow.
you kind of got to just stay away from the whole head area.
Yeah.
And we didn't get the chance to get there.
Yeah.
But
which is interesting, because I always expect, you know, these
yeah.
amazing success
oh,
stories
yeah,
out
yeah,
of you. But
yeah. I'm kind of happy to be able to tell one like that. You know, I don't want people thinking it's all fun and games. I mean, it's still fun and games.
Yes.
But it's not a win every time.
Yeah.
And that game was still super cool. That was, you know, like a game we may have just witnessed. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was not unlike the Seahawks Cardinals game.
Oh, I don't want to talk
about it. Yeah, let's not go there. Okay, we're keeping football out of this. Anyway,
it's good to see that gleam in your eye. There's something out there you need to figure out.
Fired up.
Yeah, I see the challenge.
I got to give a big what up to Muskie Dave. Tell people to check him out there on Facebook or good luck find him online. If you want to get book a trip with him next year, you better try to start getting it with him right now. I'm going to, Bob and I are definitely, as we were driving away, we're like, we're coming back right away. So yeah, that was epic. I recommend anybody try it. I think it's just like steelhead. You know, I feel like I'm possibly due on the next time back, and that you just got to put in your numbers, and the people that are going to get them are the people that fish with confidence and intensity and desire the whole time, you know, and stay interested. Because if you're just kind of like, nah, that's probably, it might happen.
You might do it once, but not again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but meanwhile, you know, local lakes remain awesome. And I, you know, like I said, I spent the last couple of days with some awesome guys from over there in Germany, and they were just they were clients of my friend Brandon, and he's done some trips with them in the past for steelhead, and they were kind of passing through the area. They were steelhead in Idaho, and they still wanted to stop through the Met How, even though our season wasn't open. And since there was a chance of a steelhead technically still being in a lake up here, I took them up to Frost, and boy, that thing was performing amazingly. They had the best day that I've seen most anybody have there, including, you know, friends, clients, whoever, and myself. 20, 30 fish, you know, and most of them averaging, you know, 4 to 5 pounds, with that one steelhead being, you know, much.
Oh, so you did get a steelhead.
Yeah, we got one of those, the steelhead that the National Hatchery had put in there, I think 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And you'll know them by their ad clip. She was a post-spawn female that was obviously reconditioning very nicely, and gave a great tail walk, and looked just like a steelhead but in a lake. And also had a great time over at Buzzard. The colors are just on, you know, it's so beautiful right now.
Yeah,
good fish
is
there, good water, and just report after report from Rat Lake being safe and fun.
You mentioned Rat
being, I just got another one today, and it's sounding really good. So
good.
You know, there's some ideas for you, and also check out Mr. Musky Dave. And until then, if you want any other info, just keep in tune with the blog and the report on flyfishersproshop.com. You can email me at metoutfishingadventures@gmail.com, or you can give me a call at 509-429-7298. Enjoy that fall, y'all. Take care of one another, and get that fish right on. Sing me the fish pipes if you got good bit. Here's a little tip that I'm about to relate. With my pole, mama, and my line, I'm fishing. My mama's gonna fishing.